Hello and welcome to the Already Loved podcast. I'm your host, Carly G. Knipe, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you guys for being here. I've missed you all. Happy June. Happy summer. I literally cannot believe it's June, and it is so incredibly hot in Florida right now. Like, I literally stepped outside today, and it was, I think, like 99 degrees outside. I was like, this is truly insane. We cannot continue this, but that's Florida for you. We always start with the song recommendation of the day, and an album recently came out by Ethan C. Davis and Isla Vista Worship, and it's called Charmed. It is so, so beautiful. It is upbeat. It is captivating. There's just like a different sound about it, and I also just love how the lyrics are so beautiful, and just the whole thing is really good. If you need worship music that isn't just like the redundant kind of like church worship music, and you just want like, you know, Jesus-loving music that, you know, points you to Jesus, but is also a vibe, like, this album is for you. My personal favorite songs are probably Honeymoon, Melting, or What You Paid For. Those are probably my top three from the album, but ask me again in a week and they will probably change. I have this problem where I, like, when I really like an album or when I really like a certain artist, I will just, like, over-listen to it. Like, I will just put it on every single time I get in the car or, like, every single time I'm listening to music. It's honestly, like, kind of a toxic trait because then I end up hating it because I just way listen to it too much. Ugh, I hope you guys can relate to that because sometimes I just feel crazy and I'm like, oh my gosh, I loved this album and now I hate it. But hopefully that doesn't happen with this album. It's really good. It's honestly, like, the whole thing just feels like a love letter and it just feels like, yeah, just like a romantic but for Jesus album. So anyways, today we are going to be talking about mental health. And I know this is literally so Gen Z to talk about on a podcast, but honestly, I've just learned so much this past year and I really just want to talk about it in a safe space. This is a topic that obviously has become very saturated in the past year, but I think it's also become very diluted and honestly misconstrued by the secular world and even some Christians, honestly. Today, we're going to be talking about those misconceptions. We are going to be revealing the truth about our mental health and overall just have a healthy conversation about mental health. I'm going to go ahead and pray us in. Dear Lord, we love you so, so much, and I just thank you so much that you are here, that you were here before I was, and that you are just ministering to every single heart who is listening to this podcast. Lord, I just pray that everyone who hears the sound of my voice would just feel complete peace, and that our hearts would just open to talk about what you want to talk about today, to talk about our minds and our overall health and healing and all the things, Lord, that you care about and that you love. We love you so much, and we just praise you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So to start off, I just want to say, your mental health matters to God. God cares about you as a whole, which means that he cares about every aspect of your life, which includes your mental health. I grew up in a family and in a church that really just kind of disregarded mental health as an aspect of life. It was kind of just brushed under the rug and kind of overlooked as just, you know, it wasn't really a part of your life. It was just like, oh, that's, I don't even think it was acknowledged ever or like it was really ever a thing. And honestly, it's not a bad thing. I love my family. I love like how I grew up. And I think that was a lot of it was a generational thing. Like my parents were in the generation that like didn't really think about their mental health. So I'm not saying that it was a bad thing, but it definitely affected how I viewed my emotions and therapy and mental health as a whole. And I'm just honestly like a really sensitive person. So when things would just affect me really deeply, I just felt like I was crazy because everyone in my family was just like, girl, get over it. Like, we're all over it. Why are you not over it yet? You know what I mean? So with that, it really made therapy and just the idea of mental health as a whole kind of feel like taboo in my family or taboo to me. Like it wasn't, we weren't really supposed to talk about it. Or if we did, then it would just kind of be like a just not a conversation that we would have, you know? But honestly, I have learned so much in the past year about how integrated our mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical health are. And I honestly think they're really intertwined and they inform and affect one another. I also will say that my parents and my siblings have gotten way better at like acknowledging mental health and we're all like, you know, we're all great now. Like no one is like weird about it anymore. But just growing up, it really felt like that. So I just wanted to make a disclaimer. I love my family. They're great. And yeah, now we all are great. But anyways, my favorite Bible story that really shows how integrated all of our health is, like how holistic our health is when Jesus heals Jairus' daughter. And there's different versions of this story in obviously the different gospels. But my personal favorite one is in Mark 5, verse 21 through 43. And you can read about it yourself, but I'm going to go ahead and summarize it. Just during Jesus' time in ministry, a synagogue leader named Jairus comes up to him and he basically falls at his feet and is like, Lord, would you please heal my sick and dying daughter? And before Jesus could go, news was dropped that Jairus' daughter was already dead, which is really sad. but Jesus still insisted upon seeing her. So when he came to the house and saw the people weeping outside, he was just like, why is everyone wailing? Like, what is going on? Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. That's what Jesus said. And all of them kind of laughed at him because they were like, she's definitely dead, bro. Have you felt that pulse? And he was just like, nah. And so he goes into the house and takes her by the hand and told her to get up. And she immediately stood up and walked around. And first of all, like, I'm sorry, Jesus just raised a girl from the dead? Like, hello? Like, you don't see that happen every Tuesday. And then on top of that, the thing that I wanted to point out was that the first thing he said after she was healed was to give her something to eat. He just commanded the people in the room to give her something to eat. And I always just kind of brushed over that fact, you know, like, he told the household members to give her something to eat, and I was just like, oh, it's kind of random. But now I realize that it's because Jesus is validating the fact that our physical health is deeply intertwined with our spiritual health and our mental health. And a blogger named Hannah Brecher posted about this, or Hannah Brecher, I really don't know how to pronounce it, I'm sorry. She posted about this one time, and that's where I got this. I did not come up with this myself. But she said, our physical health is a part of the healing process. And I know that this is pointing out the physical health aspect, but I'm just saying that this whole thing kind of points to the fact that Jesus is acknowledging that our health holistically matters to him, that it's not just our spiritual health. And yeah, it just proves to me further that Jesus is concerned with us, with our holistic health, more than just our spiritual walks with him. I think Christians and people can really over-spiritualize mental health, like, or even claim like, oh, well, if you're not healed from depression or anxiety, then you don't have enough faith, or like you haven't prayed enough. And that can honestly be really damaging. I know it was really damaging to me to hear just the thought of like, oh, you aren't a good Christian if you still need therapy after like going to a worship night and praying for your healing. And like, I don't know, that whole narrative, I just like really do not like, because it's very damaging. And it actually goes exactly against what Jesus has said over and over again in the word and what he's proven in his actions, even in this passage. So I'm just here to say that Jesus cares about you, all of you, and he cares about your mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional health. So yes, like, can you experience healing in your mind at like a huge worship night, or like in your bedroom when you prayed a really powerful prayer and you were sobbing on the floor? Like, yes, you can experience healing then, but you could also experience healing in therapy, and neither one is like better than the other. No matter what, both of them are healing and both of them are good. And that actually kind of goes into my testimony with mental health. Specifically this past year, I have experienced probably the most growth mentally thanks to therapy and Jesus and good community and all the things. I didn't realize how much being adopted really affected how I viewed the world. I know it sounds kind of silly because it's like, okay, you were adopted at one, so you were a baby. You do not remember it. But I really do think that that first year of your life, well, not I think, I know that that first year of your life really affects a lot of how you view the world and how you just develop as a baby. I took AP Psych, guys. I know this. But I just think being neglected and rejected and experiencing, I mean, honestly, starvation and a lack of love and affection in the first year of my life continues to affect me to this day. And I'm literally 20 years old. Like, this thing that happened to me 19 years ago is continuing to affect me. And my therapist said it like this. She says, okay, Carly, like, you don't remember what it was like to be in an orphanage, but your brain does. And that just like shook me to the core. I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. Like, no wonder I act like this, because like my brain like sometimes still thinks that I'm an orphan, which I know is not true. And I know that Jesus does not speak that over me, but I feel like a lot of my life I was living in survival mode and I didn't even know it. So what would happen is I would fear rejection or abandonment, even from like my closest friends and family. And I would literally go into fight or flight mode if I perceived that, like, you know, like what my boyfriend was saying to me was like rejection, which maybe what he was saying to me was just, hey, I can't hang out right now. You know what I mean? And it's like that thing that is so small would literally set me into fight or flight mode. And I would just, it was like really irrational. And it was honestly a form of anxiety, I would say. I've never been like diagnosed with the chemical imbalance of anxiety, but we've all experienced anxiety in our lives, you know? And so I really do think that this was one of those things. And obviously, my two parents love me so much. My two adoptive parents, I feel very loved by them, and I don't feel, like, deprived by them. But what fear and what anxiety would lie to me with is, you will always be rejected. You will always be deprived. You will always be abandoned. All these, like, things that I feel like the enemy tried to speak over me when I was a baby and now that are affecting me to this day. And not just lies, like, in my head, but also it's like it almost was like built into me biologically to start to fear those things because that had happened to me as a baby. And so when I talk about fear, I'm not talking about like crying in a corner type of fear. It was more of like a sneaky fear that would just kind of wriggle its way into my mind and into my thoughts. And like I said, it would manifest itself physically by these thought patterns that I would always go down into. And so I know that's kind of hard to explain and hard to grasp, but it was a really, really sneaky and a hard thing to deal with because it was not pinpointable. Like, I wasn't like, oh, perfect. Like, I got a cut and now I can just like put some Neosporin and a Band-Aid on it. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, there's like a thousand little cuts in my mind and I don't know how to deal with any of these. You know what I mean? And so that was part of what made me want to go to therapy to start processing my adoption, which was literally so good. And I highly recommend. And well, not if you need to process your adoption, but I mean like therapy in general, I just highly recommend. And a book that really helped me during this time that my therapist recommended to me was called Try Softer by Andi Kobler. She calls all of these things that I was talking about, this fear, all of this like, you know, like anxiety, she calls it white knuckling, which I feel like I would just define as like kind of like sucking it up or just trying harder. Like, okay, like if you're feeling all these things, like just like, I feel like our natural instinct is just to like white knuckle it. Like, okay, just fine. It's fine. Like, we're just gonna get through this, which I feel like is a narrative that is pushed on us, you know, when we're young. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Keep going. Like, don't let it affect you. All these things. But I didn't realize that I was white knuckling my way through life. And therapy is what taught me this. I don't know what you have been through or what you've been told about mental health, but I just want to say that it is okay and it is good to seek help. God gave us the tools and the resources and the people and the science and the studying, all the things on this earth through therapy, medication, etc., to help us in life. And I also just want to say, it isn't being a quote unquote bad Christian to go to therapy. You're not weird for needing therapy, and you're not using a crutch by going to therapy. You're not weak for going to therapy. Like, in fact, I honestly think the people who can finally admit that they need therapy are the strongest type of people, because that's even stronger than just toughing it out and just white knuckling your way through it. I honestly also think it is not that you're not trusting God enough or not believing in his power to heal you or anything by going to therapy. I believe that he heals us in multiple ways, not just at a worship night or not just during a powerful prayer, not just during like all these spiritual moments, but also just in life. Like, he can heal you over time with therapy or with another tool, you know? He did it for me, so he can do it for you. I honestly think it would be ignorant to believe that God only wants to heal us a certain way. Like, just think about that. Like, that doesn't really sound like his nature or his character. He is a creative God, so of course there are going to be multiple methods of how he can heal us. And on top of that, he doesn't just want us to lean on the miracle itself, but to learn to trust him, the miracle worker. So if any quote-unquote Christian tells you that it's bad to go to therapy, then they have their own issues about knowing God's character that they probably need to deal with themselves. I will say, what helped me a lot was going to a Christian therapist, because she actually understood the perspective that I was coming through, that I was coming from. She wasn't just like, oh yeah, like, just do this meditation. And I'm like, okay, is this meditation sketchy? You know what I mean? Like, it was very sound. And because of that, she could also use spiritual things to help me, and using spiritual examples to help me understand what's going on in my mind. The best part is I feel like with a lot of Christian therapists, they're not like shoving Jesus down your throat, and they're not like pastors, they're therapists. So their job is to like be there and listen, and not just give you unsolicited Christian advice, but to help you in your life, period. And it just so happens that they also get to see the same perspective as you because they're Christians. So that's my take. And also, if you're going to a Christian therapist and you don't feel like they can hear you and that they're just shoving Jesus down your throat, it's also okay to just go find a new therapist that is Christian. You know what I mean? Like, and also, even if you're not going to a Christian therapist, like, no judgment. But I'm just saying that's what helped me. So it might help you, but obviously take this all with a grain of salt. All of these things I have learned in my 9 months of therapy. God did the healing work, yes, but he used my therapist to equip me, to educate me, to sit with me, to empathize and validate me, and to show me Jesus through it all. And on top of that, God did the healing work, yes, but he needed my participation in my healing as well. My mentor spoke over me that the trauma that happened to you isn't your fault, but healing is your responsibility. This doesn't mean that it's up to us to heal ourselves, but it really means that it's up to us to participate in our healing. Like, the doctor can hand you the medicine, but it is up to you to put the pill in your mouth and swallow it and take a sip of water. You know, like, the doctor can't do that for you, and it's the same thing with God. So that's just my testimony with mental health, and that's just my, you know, in the past year, testimony with mental health. But I also just wanted to go over some things that I've learned about Jesus and mental health that I think is applicable to most of us. The first thing is that our thoughts and emotions are part of our walk with Jesus. They aren't mutually exclusive. I think I used to think that to feel a lot or to have a lot of thoughts or to have a lot of like emotions that I couldn't like bring those to God because I have to kind of just be in this holy place with him, right? Like I, you know, like when I'm with him, I'm like experiencing him spiritually, not emotionally, mentally. I don't know if that makes sense, but the thing that I learned is that our humanity is not outside of our relationship with God. In fact, he made our humanity and he loves our humanity. Like that is wild to me that he loves these parts of ourselves that we honestly hate. And I used to think that I had to like kind of deal with all my unhealthy mindsets and behaviors apart from God. Like I had to kind of get myself together before coming to him. But I truly think it's a holy work that he wants to partner with you in. He isn't disgusted by the grossest parts of yourself. In fact, he wants to heal them. I almost picture like a wounded dog just trying to like lick its wounds and hide all the wounds, but God deeply desires to come in and heal those wounds. And it might hurt, it might get messy, it might take a while, and it might not be fun, but it is so, so worth it because he wants you to be whole and experience freedom. The next thing that I learned is that there are no good or bad emotions, they just are. This was a game changer for me, y'all. Like I used to assign almost like moral value to emotions. Like why do some emotions feel holier than others? Like happiness and excitement feel holy, but you know, kind of uncomfy emotions like anger and sadness and jealousy almost feel like unholy somehow. But let's be real, God made emotions so he understands them. Jesus experienced every emotion that you and I have. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I love that. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. He is able to sympathize with us. He is able because he's been through all of it. And one of the most freeing things that I learned in therapy is that it is not a sin to feel uncomfy emotions. It's a sin to act on them. Like if the act is sinful, yeah, it's a sin to go like murder someone if I'm angry. You know what I mean? But just the feeling of anger as a result of my situation isn't in and of itself a sin. I know that's kind of a hard concept to grasp because it honestly can be really nuanced, but you know, like the Bible says, like, don't let the sun go down on your anger, but you guys know what I mean. All that I'm really saying is you don't need to feel pressure to like repent for feeling sad. But in fact, Jesus can meet you in those feelings. That was the biggest takeaway that I had from this whole thing is like when you are feeling angry, sad, jealous, insert the uncomfy emotion, Jesus isn't outside of those. He's in them with you. And I think that was just a game changer for me because I realized, oh my goodness, that means that he can speak to me on these emotions. Like he can speak to me about these things. I don't have to avoid them and just kind of like pretend that they're not there when I'm with him, but he wants to talk to me about these things. It's like if you're sitting in a room with someone and you just happen to be like feeling all these like things, like they're still in that room with you. You know what I mean? But I used to think that Jesus was outside of that room. Like he wasn't able to like be in those emotions with me, but he is because he's inside of you and he loves you and he wants to talk about these things with you. That's what I mean by it's not a sin to feel emotions. It's not a sin to just feel things. My one digression that I have specifically about this topic is obviously it is not a sin to just like feel these emotions and just to like have them, you know? But when it comes specifically to emotions that can be really charged, like sadness, like anger, obviously we can feel them fully, but the Lord doesn't want us to stay in those spots. Like he knows that that isn't what leads to freedom and healing, you know? And so all that to say, like, there's so much grace for you when you are experiencing those emotions. Like there's grace, there's healing, there's so many like things, and Jesus is inside of those, he's in those emotions with you, but he doesn't want you to just stay there. You know, he's so much better than just being like, yeah, sucks to be sad. Like, let's just be here for a while. Let's just camp here for like 10 years. You know what I mean? And he designed us and created us to grow and to learn and to process. So yeah. And also like, even in the word, it literally says like, there's a time to weep and a time to celebrate. And I also think about how like, you know, in the Bible, it says like, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. But even though it says that, and yes, Jesus literally like is the epitome of joy and God is love. And there's so many like, you know, what we associate with like positive qualities to God and to Jesus and just the Godhead in general. Of course, that is the case. But do not feel shame if you are feeling sadness or if you're feeling, I'm just using like sadness and anger as like my main examples, but obviously there are so many more. If y'all ever heard of a feeling wheel, like I love those things. It's basically a tool that just like kind of breaks down like different vocabulary and different descriptions and angles of, I guess like just simple feelings that we feel, but sometimes they're just a little more complex than just I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling happy, you know, like anyways. And so, you know, the bottom half of the feeling wheel is those negative emotions, you know, the ones that we're like, oh, this is anger, this is sadness, this is jealousy. And so obviously they break down into more. Anyways, I'm digressing a lot, but all that to say, yes, Jesus is joy and he is love and he is peace. And these are all amazing things. And these are good things to feel, but you can feel peace and sadness at the same time. And it is possible to feel more than one emotion at once. And all that to say, Jesus is inside of those emotions with you. He's just sitting in there with you. He's not apart from them. He's not outside of them because he created them and he loves them and he loves you. If you want to hear more like biblical examples or commentaries on really what it looks like to feel your emotions fully in a biblical way, I really recommend the book of Psalms. Like David is literally just popping off with emotion and we love a good Enneagram 4 moment. But I love Psalms because it shows us that we can feel those emotions too. And when we're in the presence of God, it changes things. Our hearts literally transform. Like, I mean, you can read any psalm, pick any psalm, and you can see David go from like, oh my gosh, I'm literally gonna die. Like, Lord, send me to the wolves. Like, why did you send all these like armies out to get me? And then like literally the next verse, he's like, but Lord, I praise you that you are like, you are my protector, you're my strength and my shield. Like he just goes through, and some people might read that and be like, oh my gosh, why is he so emotionally unstable? When really that's honestly what's going on in our heads every 2 seconds. But I just love it because it almost, I feel like reading in the Bible almost gives me permission that it's okay to feel this way because someone else has felt this way and it's in the Bible. He kept it in the Bible for a reason, you know? And so I listened to this podcast from Upper Room and it was about praying the word. I know like Larissa Miller spoke on it. I could possibly link it below. I don't know if I can find it again, but it was so good. Literally changed the way that I view prayer completely and changed the way that I view emotions. And she actually speaks about this specifically, is about like seeing how in the Psalms you can go from feeling so many like hard, difficult, like complex emotions, but also be praising God in the middle of it, and how Psalms almost gives us the verbiage for that, you know. Anyways, all that to say, another resource that I recommend on like talking about Jesus and mental health and processing emotions is this podcast called The Place We Find Ourselves. They featured the author of the book that I've been talking about, Anna Kobler. She's amazing. And, you know, she talks about just how to feel your emotions fully and just really pay attention to what's going on inside of you. All of those things. I'm so sorry for this huge digression, but I just really wanted to like expand on this a little bit more, that it is not a sin to just feel emotions. The sin happens when we act on them in a sinful way, but just feeling them isn't a sin because there's no good or bad emotions. They just are. And there's grace for you in every single step of the way. I remember before I knew the Lord, I used to give into like every emotion, exude every unhealthy behavior that I was feeling, and just kind of like let all those feelings and thoughts and urges control me. And then when I rededicated my life to Christ, I would actually do the extreme opposite. Like whenever I would have an emotion that I just like kind of labeled as bad, I would just immediately take it captive and just like throw it to God. Like it was almost like, God, like make me not think that way. Like please, like take these thoughts away. You know what I mean? And honestly, I think sometimes like I needed that, but lately, I've been realizing that there really needs to be like a happy medium. Of course, I can't let my emotions lead me, but I also can't completely suppress them and just like bottle them up in the name of taking them captive, quote unquote. So, you know, like if you're thinking like, maybe if something keeps coming up in my mind, like maybe there's a reason behind it. And so instead, try softer with yourself. And instead of overfeeling, or on the other end, just suppressing, stop and ask the Lord why you feel that way. And he will reveal what part of your heart may need healing in it. The Bible supports the idea that our minds can change. This is really, really encouraging news. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is so good because up until recently, actually, scientists believed that our minds were pretty much steady. Like they were like, yep, we're pretty much stuck in our ways. But this verse and recent scientific discoveries have shown us that we are able to change. And this concept, like, not to get all scientific on you, but this concept is called neuroplasticity. And it's just, you know, Google defines this as the ability of the brain to form and reorganize synaptic connections, especially in response to learning or experience or following injury. That's really interesting because neuroplasticity might have made you a certain way. Like, if you've experienced trauma, neuroplasticity might have been the reason that you start to respond in certain ways when you're triggered or when you experience things that remind you of that trauma. But on top of that, that same skill that your brain has can also be healing in it. Like, you can experience healing because of neuroplasticity. And when I say trauma, I think I used to just kind of think trauma was just only people who get in, like, car accidents or people who've been in war and, like, seen people die and all these things. But part of the book talks about how there's a difference between little t and big T trauma. Little t trauma is just kind of like micro things that happen throughout your life, things that hurt, things that are painful, that aren't really like life-threatening situations to you, but they still affect you and they still affect how you experience the world, you know? And I think that's a lot of the trauma that most people are talking about when they, you know, talk about the experiences that they've had and what has damaged them and hurt them. And big T trauma is actual life-threatening situations that cause you to, like, have flashbacks and all these things. Sorry, that was me trying to explain little T trauma and big T trauma off the cuff. But anyways, all that to say, no matter what type of trauma you have, because honestly, neither one is better or, like, worse than the other. Honestly, like, they both affect you and they both are real. And so I'm not going to sit here and just be like, oh yeah, like, big T trauma is worse than little T trauma. Like, because they're all different and they're all of it is hard still, you know what I mean? And we are all different and we respond to things differently. And so something that might not have been traumatic for you might have been traumatic for someone else. Anyways, all that to say, no matter what you've been through, neuroplasticity is scientific proof of what the Bible has already spoken, that healing and change is available to us. You are not stuck in your ways. You are not unable to change. You will not, quote unquote, like, be like this for the rest of your life. But it is completely possible to grow and change. And I've seen it in my own life. Thought and behavior patterns that I thought would literally never change are suddenly gone. And that didn't happen overnight, but over a long period of time of choosing to grow, choosing to take thoughts captive, and choosing healing, a continuation of choosing these things. And that brings me to my next and final point, that when it comes to healing, you are wholly set apart and justified no matter what you do. All God needs is your yes. There are no actions that can make you more or less holy. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, his blood on the cross was enough to call you holy and set apart and justified, period. Yes, sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus, but what I'm saying is you don't have to do this on your own. I think I used to think that I could earn holiness or earn healing, so I would just kind of like whip myself into like better behavior if I saw something that I needed to fix, but we will never reach perfection until heaven, and that is an encouraging thing, that we can't be perfect, and that doesn't just mean that we can kind of like wallow and be complacent, but it should encourage you that it's not up to you to make yourself healthy. It's Jesus in you. All he needs is your yes. Healing is available to you, and he did it for me, so he can do it for you. The other thing about this is it takes time. Honestly, it will take maybe a lifetime. Honestly, I think it's going to take a lifetime of just continuing to choose healing and continuing to grow, but be encouraged that just because it's not overnight doesn't mean that it's not happening, but that we are always growing and changing, and, you know, you're either going towards something or away from something. And so all it takes is just your yes, and for you to be like, Lord, I desire what you desire, and part of what you desire is healing for myself and being whole, every part of me. And so when we give our lives to Christ, it doesn't just mean that he's going to heal, like, our behavior and make us, like, better people, which should happen as a result of knowing Christ. But what it really does is it affects our hearts, and he cares about your heart. And all he wants is for your heart to be healed and whole. And from that place, you will be able to bear fruit, and it will look different, and you will look and act differently. Your behavior will change as a result of your heart changing, not the behavior first. And that part was really encouraging to me, because even throughout my healing process, and honestly, I talk a lot more about, like, refinement and all these things in an episode that are a couple episodes back called The Beauty of Refinement. And this was actually, you know, recorded during the bulk of all of my, like, really hard struggle with, like, all of these things in therapy and just unlearning really unhealthy behavior that I've been living in for my entire life, all these things. But I really did learn that it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It took me a really, really long time, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing, and I still find myself falling back on those patterns and, you know, falling back into those mindsets. But the biggest thing is just realizing this is not who I am. This is not who the Lord called me to be. In fact, this is just a result of what happened to me in my life. And, you know, like my mentor said, like, that part isn't my fault. Like, it's not my fault what happened to me, but healing is my responsibility. It is my responsibility to say yes, to take the pill and to swallow it and to take a sip of water. So don't be discouraged if your healing doesn't happen overnight. It will take time, but the Lord is miraculous, and He is in the business of doing miracles. It's what He does best, and He loves you, and He desires this for you. I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. Dear Lord, we love You so, so much, and I just thank You so much for this word and just the fact that You care deeply about us. And right now, Lord, I just pray that every single person would just feel a desire and a stirring to want healing for themselves and to want wholeness. Lord, I thank You that You are the one who gives us hope. And so I thank You that You are the miracle worker, that You're our Father, and that You love us. I thank You that You don't dangle things over our heads or just kind of hold things over our heads and tease us, Lord, but that You desire to give us good gifts. I thank You, Lord, that You're not after a behavior change, but You're after a heart change. And so I just pray that our hearts would be transformed and that we would just give our yes to You. Thank You, Jesus, for everything that You've done for us. And we love You so, so much, not just for the things You've done for us, but just for who You are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so, so much for listening. If you liked this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend or on social media. And speaking of social media, you can always follow me on my personal at KG Knipe or my podcast account at Already Loved Podcast. And if you really liked this podcast, I would consider rating it and reviewing it on whatever platform you listen on. That gives me a huge help because it just boosts my podcast on, you know, that platform, and it actually recommends it to other people. So that will be super helpful. I love you guys so much, and I hope you have a great week. I love you guys so much. Peace out.